today. Amen? Amen. We all woke up. We're all dressed. We all probably had some kind of breakfast. The only negative news today is there's no coffee in the house. Someone go, oh. The reason being is because we are having our fellowship hall lacquered and polished, and it's going to be gleaming bright, but it's in that 24-hour window where we don't dare touch it. So please stay away from that room. That's where the coffee is. That's where Ron's class was. So it's going to be upstairs today in 4B. So just let everybody know, it's a little tweak today. No coffee. Ron's class is upstairs in 4B. Everything should be back to normal next week, just in time for post-election blues. So it's wonderful. Also, one quick announcement. Today is going to be our one and only makeup day for our directory. And if you're just hearing about the directory today, and you're like, oh, I'd like to be a part of that, please come. You are welcome to do that upstairs in the ladies' class at the very end of the hallway on the left. Allie's going to set up after our second service, so from 12:30 to 1:30. And she's just going to get a snapshot of you and your family, and we're going to put that into the directory. Today's the last chance to do that. If not, you'll have to provide your own picture, which we welcome as well. But this is a way that we can get everybody in there, and she was very gracious to do that. So let's not make her wait. 12:30 to 1:30 is a window. I have tried to push us all into that for her blessing. She's a very busy mommy, and she's graciously provided that. So please, if you can be there today, 12:30 to 1:30 upstairs, please do that. What if we kept our promises? Our video reminded us this morning. What if we did the things that we promised? Well, I don't know about you, but when I saw that video, I was convicted. And then I also thought, well, what exactly did I promise? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and set that up as a theme this week and next week. Ephesians is one of those amazing books that I would love to talk about, but we're going to spend a lot of time in 2017 on. And that'll be next week's reading. But this week's reading is Galatians. So we're going to take this week and next week and look at Galatians. And hopefully it'll give you enough to sink your teeth into that book, as well as some of the core themes and ideas I think very much are relatable to what we're doing today, what we're celebrating today. For those of you who may be visiting with us today, thank you for being here. You're an honored guest. Our theme that we're doing this year, just so you know, is we're trying to read through the entire Bible, so that we can really learn what God is thinking on a grand scale from Genesis to Revelation. And every week I preach from the 22 to 23 chapters that you read that week. And we're learning to dance to the beat of God's heart. And that's why we want to understand, what is he thinking? What is he doing? And I think that Galatians is another one of those books that just brings a core element that is very important to God and very important to Paul, and especially in Galatians, more than any other book. Paul is on fire. I can only imagine what this would sound like in a full-scale Paul sermon, where he is probably doing some yelling and screaming. There's some intensity in this book. And you'll pick up on that as we look at it today. Some of the flavor is unquenchable almost. Let me give you a little quick background. We talked about a few weeks ago how Romans was a situation where Paul was writing to someone he did not know, and there was problems. So he spent 12 chapters explaining the gospel. And then the last four, so y'all get along. And then maybe last week and the week before, we looked at Corinthians, which is another letter written on an occasion for a particular purpose. And he is all about the gospel there too, except this time the majority of the book is, now that you believe the gospel, this is how you should behave. Now that you know about Jesus, this is the way you should behave. And so he spends a majority of his time dealing with specific problems that are going to hurt your faith and hurt the church. And then, oh, and by the way, just in case you forgot the gospel, and then he reminds us in chapter 15. So that's a heavy practical side in Corinthians. Well, Galatians, the book we're looking at today, is kind of like, many people describe it as little Romans. Some of the same language, like Abba Father, we always reference. God wants us to call him Abba. It's in both Galatians and Romans. And there's a lot of that counter connectivity between the two books. But in Galatians, it's only six chapters. And it's to a church that he planted and that he's already been to. And there's some problems. So he's writing to a church that started off great and they loved the Lord and they accepted the gospel and they're moving forward. And suddenly there's some false teachers coming in. Can you imagine if you're trying to teach your kids something and someone on the playground tells them something else? And they come home and they're like, yeah, but Joey said. And you're like, I don't care who Joey is. I'm your mom. I'm your dad. And you get that frustration. That's what Paul's dealing with. Something's going on in the church, and it's not right. There's a false teaching going on there. And we're going to explore what that is and why it's significant to us. But this is a big deal because the church is kind of going off kilter a little bit. And Paul is writing to say, hey guys, whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. Remember when I taught you about the gospel? Why are you forgetting it? And he starts off like a firecracker. Chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to this. I am shocked. That sounds like a dad, doesn't it? I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the gospel or the good news. But it's not the good news at all. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, if even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of gospel than the one we preach to you. He says, you have fallen away from God. You have missed the boat. You're completely off track with this. And I cannot believe it's only taking you like 10 days. What is the problem, Galatians? He's angry. You can hear the intensity of his voice. If anybody tells you anything that we did, even if we in a crazy mind tell you something other than what we shared with you, let us be cursed from God. Let me say it again, and he does it again. Let him be cursed from God. Now, that's strong language. Cursed from God. If even an angel from heaven comes and says to you, this is what God wants, and it's not exactly like Paul said, let them be cursed from God. Can you hear the intensity? Something important he said to them, and something important has been twisted. And he wants to remind them that there is nothing more important. Remember, everything falls or sinks on the gospel. Paul is very serious about that. What is the gospel again? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And what he is trying to remind them of is, you're missing the boat if you tweak the gospel even a little bit. Now, another part of this is, just like Joey on the playground says, well, your mom and dad are just telling you that because, and they give the excuse, and your kid comes back, and he's beginning to doubt his mom and dad. That's what's going on with Paul, too. Whoever's teaching in Galatians is kind of twisting the truth in such a way to say, well, Paul just doesn't want you to know that. Or Paul is not telling the whole truth. Or, you know, Jesus was always... I mean, Jesus said that not even a slight jot or tittle is going to go away from the law. So you really should stick with the law and circumcision. And thus they begin to teach. And that's what the Jews are doing here. And it's starting to twist what's going on. And Paul, well, he's kind of... He used to be kind of a super Jew. And now he's kind of, you know, we're not so sure. And they're twisting and they're muddying the water hole. And so Paul is feeling this. He's trying to defend himself. So a lot of what you see in Galatians is his resume. I'm a real apostle. Okay. I'm a real boy. Right. I'm a real apostle. Trust me. Jesus came directly to me. I went three years away to a different country, spent time with God. I went to the apostles in Jerusalem and they accepted me. I'm a real apostle. So he does that a little bit in the book. In fact, one time he calls down Peter, the apostle, right? Even Peter messed it up and had to call him out. I'm the real deal. So he's trying to convince the Galatians that, look, I'm coming with great authority from God and it's all about the gospel. So that's the context of what's going on in Galatians. And he starts vibrantly down this path. Well, what's the problem? Galatians 2, starting in verse 4. Listen to this. This is what he says about these Jews. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. They snuck in and tried to enslave us. So you mean this entire discussion about be cursed from God if anything changes is all about someone wanting us to follow some rules? I give my kids rules all the time. What's wrong with rules? Makes you think though, doesn't it? I mean, it's strong language for what's going on. They're all Jews. Most all of them come from a Jewish descent. They love the Sabbath. They go to the synagogue. They study Isaiah, right? And he says, if anybody puts that on you, let them be cursed from God. Because that is not the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me wonder, what are they teaching and what's so unique about the gospel that makes it different than what their teaching. The problem is this twisted truth. Look down in chapter 2, verse 16, a little farther. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Oh, now I get it. So the Jews are trying to say that if you don't follow the law, you're not really with God. And he's saying that is ungodly. There is only one way to be with God, and it has nothing to do with the law. It's not by following the law that we become God's children or that we serve God or that we get to go to heaven or put it, whatever context makes sense to you. It's not by doing things. It's not by following the rules that we get to go to heaven at all. It's completely, completely different. It's only by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And down a little bit farther in verse 16, he says, "For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law." No one can ever do that. It just doesn't work. I saw a funny video this week. Skit guy style. I forget exactly who put it on. But everybody's coming to St. Peter trying to get into heaven. You know, the typical joke setup. And he's sitting there and there's angels behind him. And the guys are pulling out the resume. I was a deacon for 27 years. And I was da-da-da. And he's pulling out his resume. And every one of them denied. Denied. And I mean, the better the resume got, denied. And this last guy comes in all ragamuffin looking. He's like, but I'm with him. And he turns around and you see that his face glows and he smiles. He's like, all right, come on. And accepted. It's just a simple message of, it's not a resume that gets us into heaven. It's a referral. Amen. It's the fact that we know someone who knows what's up and can bring us in under his authority. That is the man Jesus Christ. And that is why this is good news. We don't have to keep this long, complicated law. There's no way that law is ever going to help us. No set of rules is going to get us into heaven. And we're going to look at this on the flip side coin next week. So please come back for this. And if you're visiting, listen to it online. Because both of these really go together in Galatians. But for today, I want you to really soak this in. It's not what we do. It's what God has already done. That's the point. That's what the gospel is. That's why it's good news. In verse 19, a little bit farther down in chapter 2, he says, "For when I tried to keep up with the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might instead live for God." See, there's an either or here. We either try to live out all the rules, be at church every Sunday, read your Bible every day, pray three times a day, be kind to everyone you know, pray for your enemies, give a tenth of all that you own to support the work of the Lord. Are these good things? Say yes. But that's not what gets you to heaven. It has nothing to do with it at all. I want to soak this in because I think as a tradition, I know we are guilty of this. And we put pressure on people. Again, there are reasons for this. Next week we'll talk about. But I want you to understand very clearly, it is anathema. It is evil to say that what we do has any implication on God's love for us or our acceptance into his kingdom or our hope for heaven one day. Has nothing to do with it. Say nothing. And this is important to Paul. And he's loud in this gospel. He's making sure that we understand it is only by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that any of this makes sense. It is not by anything we do. It's completely separated. And that's a real problem if we get ourselves confused. Every time we check a box to earn God's favor, it's as if we're going up to the cross of Jesus and spitting on it and saying, well, I don't need that. I could do it on my own. Because I can follow the rules the right way. Galatians 2:21, listen to this. He says, "I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die." The perfect man Jesus, who actually lived out the law, the only one who could do it, the perfect Lamb of God, comes to a perfect Father, cries out to him with teardrops and sweat of blood, and says, "If there is any other way, please, Lord, don't make me do this. 3 times. And God says, there is no other way. And he says, then not my will, but yours be done. This is the gospel story. This is what's so incredible about what Jesus did. Do you think after all that, if there was another way to go and be with God, God would have allowed it? Surely he would have. It is only by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That is the only thing that matters. It is the only thing that makes us right with God. Everything else is merely a response, a smart idea, a proper way to live because we're designed a certain way. A lot of good reasons to follow law, but none of them have to do with salvation. Let that sink in. Is that good news to you or bad news? If you find safety in the rules, it's probably not good news for you. If you feel oppressed by the rules, hallelujah, right? It's not about that. And it never has been. Here's what it's about. As we started in our video, it's about a promise. In Galatians 3, he really outlines this. I want to read some of this to you. In verse 15 and 16, listen to this. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises. Notice how many times that word promise pops up. Gave the promises to Abraham and to his child. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if he meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. In other words, he comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I promise you. Now, it may be because of the way Abraham had behaved, but it was once God makes a promise, to not do that promise makes God a liar, and he will never do that. He made a promise to Abraham and to Abraham's seed, not to Joe and Jane and Jim, but to Abraham's one descendant, his seed, the one person in his timeline that everything's going to wrap around, and we know that to be Jesus now. So, 2 people got the promise, Abraham and Jesus. You following with me so far? Say yes. All right? This is really important to understand why this is so important to Paul. It's an irrevocable agreement. God has made a promise and he will always keep it because he is loyal that way. This is what I'm trying to say, verse 17. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. The promise came before the law. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. So why then was the law given? Here's a little caveat. It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who is to be promised. So there's 2 promises. There's to Abraham, and everybody gets skipped, including David. He gets his own promises. And Jesus. Here's the cool part. The seed of Abraham is Jesus. And what Paul is saying is, the promise is connected to you, but it's not to you. Therefore, no matter what you do, you can't earn your way to heaven, and the promise is not for you. So you're out in the cold. Unless you could be seen as the one who gets the promise. So if you're in the company of Jesus, then the promise comes directly to him, which includes you, if you're in Jesus. Are you following with me? If you're not in Jesus, the promise misses you and goes to Abraham and to Jesus. But if you're in Jesus, if you're his body, if you're his bride, if you're his family, then the promise comes directly to you. And that is what Paul is saying here. So it's good news because it's very easy. All the work's been done for you. But it does require our choice to make a promise back. And that's where it gets in really careful. God has made a promise to us. And he merely wants us to make a promise back to him. Now today in our assembly, we have some of our members who are going to stand today and make a promise. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:9, they should be people who hold tight to the great mystery of faith with a clear conscience. It's a promise. It's a decision of the heart that says, I choose this and I promise to serve the church and to love the church and to do what God has called me to do. The words we're reading about here in 1 Timothy and other passages is this word diakonos. And unless people know Greek or they're in church, they don't know what the word deacon means. What it literally translates to is the word servant. Jesus says that the greatest among you will be your servant. That's that word, deacon. It's many, many times it pops up, diakonos. It just means servant. And so since we're talking about servants, and specifically they're not just everybody as a servant, it's a leader position in our church. It's a servant leader. And so what we want to call these diakonos that we read about at Church in the Falls will be servant leaders. And they are going to be accountable to God and accountable to our shepherds. And they're going to stand in the gap. And so what I want to ask of you as a church is that you would submit to their authority, that you would respect their authority, that you would love them, pray for them, and support them, because they have to answer to God for you. They have to answer to our elders. And it's a powerful thing that I want you to understand. People are going to step in the gap and make a promise to you. And Doug is going to lead us through this process this morning, and then I'll wrap it up at the end. Go ahead, brother.
Today we want to officially recognize a number of people within the body as servant leaders. It's very easy to take for granted so many of the efforts that occur all around us on a regular basis here in the body in the Falls. We are blessed to have effective members who are willing to step up, to serve, to keep things flowing smoothly. Now, all of us in this body need to accept responsibility on whatever level we can to lift God up before one another and the community. Many of the people that we are officially designating as servant leaders have been serving in these positions for some time now. But we think it is important to recognize them in these positions and make it official that their roles are recognized by the elders as well as the body here and in a way that honors a biblical pattern. Their ministry titles will represent their area of service, which is also a representation of their giftedness. Not to say that this is their only area of giftedness, but one that they have chosen to pursue in a leadership role for the body in the Falls. In the area of adult education, Mary Sue Watson will be our servant leader. She has clearly worked in education all of her life, and she comes with the training that is needed to pursue this. She's done a wonderful job in this area for us, and we appreciate that, and she will continue in that role. In the area of audio visual, our servant leader designees will be Sean Dawson and Dan DeSiddicky, and both of them have been serving effectively in this role for some time now, and they have a very effective team around them that also makes things flow very fluidly for us. In the Awana program, our servant leaders will be Julie Black and Kathleen DeSiddicky. These two sisters have worked very effectively in this program for some time now to reach our children as well as children of the community, and they once again are surrounded with a great team of teachers and volunteers. Our building use coordinator will be Barbara Hobbs. She will be our servant leader in this area, and she has effectively fulfilled this role for some time now. She oversees and processes all requests to use the facility by members as well as non-members that fall outside the areas of normal worship and fellowship activities, and we are thankful for the efforts that she has put forward and will continue to put forward in this area. In Children's Church, Carrie Donnell will be the servant leader, and she has been functioning in this role for a while. We are so thankful for Carrie and her passion for children, and she displays that tirelessly, and so she will continue to use her God-given abilities in this area. As facility manager, the servant leader will be Mike Hogan. Mike's been in this role for a while. He will continue to lead in this area. Many of his efforts, as well as many of the people who work around him in this area, go unnoticed, and they can be easily taken for granted. And we want to say publicly thank you for all the things that he has done and will continue to do. You know, there are so many little things, as well as big things, but so many little things that he pursues on a regular basis that would look like really big things if they didn't get done. So thank you, Mike. For fellowship activities, we're going to have a team of servant leaders, and this will include Shannon and Susan Carpenter, Josh and Janine Muller, and Rob and Shelley Vaughn. They have agreed to serve in this area and work together to enhance our fellowship opportunities. In the area of information technology, Damon Heron will be our servant leader. Damon has done a wonderful job of developing our website and keeping it current. And we can't overstate the importance of a well-organized web presence in our culture today. Our website is often the first impression people receive of our body here in the Falls as they check us out and see what we have to offer. And he's done a great job here. Damon is also a wonderful consultant for IT for us. In the area of life groups, Jeff Drummond will be our servant leader. And he is not new to this arena, and we thank Jeff so much for all that he has done here. He's done a wonderful job of promoting our life groups, and we are blessed to have him in this position. In the area of worship service coordinators, for the first service, our servant leaders will be Chuck Buck, Greg Loney, and Neil Rule. And in the second service, we will have David Jividen. This team of brothers ensures that the appropriate volunteers are in place to ensure a seamless flow of worship service. And Chuck can attest to this morning. Now, if you have any questions or input in any of these areas, we encourage you to give that input or questions to the leader that is functioning or the leaders that is functioning in that area. You know, it probably goes without saying, but all of these servant leaders who have agreed to step up for their role are much more effective when they are surrounded by individuals who are willing to help in those areas. I know that there are many of you who are already supporting in one or more of these areas. Thank you. If you are not, we need you. Now, if your name has been mentioned, in just a moment, we're going to have you come forward. If you're here with children and need to bring your children up, that's great. We love to pray with kids too. But as a body, we want to ask God's blessings on these good brothers and sisters who have agreed to lead in these different areas. And we would encourage any here in the body with us today to join us as shepherds, to join us as we surround these people and pray for them at this time. So if your name was mentioned, please come forward. Anybody who wants to come join us, please, we would welcome you to join us in prayer at this time. Let's pray. Father, we're so blessed to see you work your will among us. We're blessed when we see you indwell our brothers and sisters. And we ask your specific blessing on each one of these individuals. And there's no roles that are small in your sight, Father. We thank you for the way you have filled them, the way you have gifted them, the way you direct them. Thank you for not only the areas that we have specifically mentioned their names in this morning, Father, but there are many of these good people who serve in other areas too. Thank you for that. Father, motivate us as members to be their support team. Allow them to be effective in the things they do, not for their glory, Father, but for yours, so that we can see your body grow here and be more effective. Thank you, God, so much for the way you love us, even though we don't deserve that. We thank you for that, and we praise you as our Father. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
If there's anything you like about Church in the Falls that you're impressed with or blessed by, it's because of these individuals. Know that. Genuinely, it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So thank you for serving and leading us the way you do. And we promise, as you have promised to serve us, we promise to support you and to encourage you in that. And we will live by that. I want to give a quick promotion for next week, and I want to wrap us up with one last thought. As I mentioned, Galatians has two sides. Today, there is no rule, there is nothing that is required of us except to be in Jesus. It is in Jesus where all the blessings, the promise comes. What is that Outback slogan? No rules, just right. You could say no rules, just righteous, right? There's something serious about this. It's a tremendous blessing, and that is what Galatians is trying to remind us of. But as the commercial for next week, when you look at a map and you don't understand it, what do you look for? The legend, right? The legend's not the map, but the legend's very helpful for the map. So we're going to talk about that portion next week. That's where the law fits. It's a legend to what God wants us to live like. It's a beautiful thing, but it is not the gospel. Just as the legend is not the map. So if the promise is only to two people, it's only to Abraham, lucky guy, and Jesus, how do the rest of us partake in that? Because we can't live out the rules. We've already discussed that. So how do we get into Jesus? How do we connect with him so that that death, burial, and resurrection benefits us? If the promise is only under the umbrella, how do we get under the umbrella? I'm glad you asked. Paul tells us about that at the end of the chapter. And I want to close with this. Galatians 3, verse 27, 28, and 29. And all who have been united with Christ, that's what we want, in baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now you belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise, this is what we want, God's promise to Abraham now belongs to you. If you want the promise of God that everything's going to be all right, that you are not going to stay in the ground like Rover dead all over, but you are going to raise to eternal life of bliss and joy. If you want to talk about heaven, if you want to talk about being with God, if you want to talk about seeing your past loved ones again and have an eternity to hang with them. If you want to talk about the celebration of a new body, if you want to talk about the joy of heaven and all that we sing about in the streets of gold, that's the promise. And it's promised through the gospel as we get into Jesus. How do we get into Jesus, church? Those who have been what? Baptized into him. And the Bible is just completely overwhelming with that. We saw it in Romans chapter 6. We see it in every example in the book of Acts. This is a pivotal thing for God. It's a way to say, look, are you with me or are you not? It's not so much about the water. It's about the pledge of a good conscience. What is a pledge, church? It's a promise. We're saying to the world, I promise I'm going to be with him over there under that umbrella because that's where I want to live. Because God is the only thing that makes sense and I can't live out the law by myself. Every time I try something, I break it. I give up. Lord, it's all about you. And the gospel says, yep, I know about that. And I know you're tore up from the floor. And guess what? I love you anyways. and I welcome you to my home. I welcome you to my house. Come celebrate eternity with me, God says. Just come inside of Jesus and everybody here goes to the party. We are baptized into Christ. And now we've died to ourselves. We've died to sin. All the stuff that could hurt us flies away. And this world becomes completely transformed. It's no longer about this world. This world is merely an exercise in developing character for the next. And all the pain now has point. Because all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Everything changes when you give your life to Jesus in baptism. And I want to extend that opportunity to make that promise today. Some of you are in a place where you've already made that promise and you need to remember, like the video said at the beginning, what if we kept our promise? What if we really live like God called us to live and really realize that it's not about all the rules. It's about just wanting to serve Jesus with a whole heart and a clear conscience. What if we did that? And some of you have never made that promise. I don't want to invite you to start thinking about it. Maybe today's your day. Maybe you need a few weeks to chew on it. Maybe you want to study the Word about it. Talk with one of us. We would love to share with you. We have no agenda in this other than to bring you to know the Lord. I don't have a number. I don't have a cheat sheet where I say, look, God, I was able to baptize 28 people. It doesn't matter because the law is irrelevant. Whatever score I have is a resume. I don't want that. I want a referral. My joy is when I see others come to know the Lord the way I know Him. And I want to invite you to do that. At least start the journey today. We're going to stand here and we're going to sing. And I ask you, if you need to respond in some way, we have shepherds in the back who would love to pray with you. You can come find one of us during the service or after the service. Just don't let this pass. Let's connect with the seed. The one other person other than Abraham who has the promise is Jesus. If you want to get into Him, let's do that today. Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus, Your name is power. Jesus, Your name is might. Jesus, Your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, Your name is life. Jesus, Your name is healing. Jesus, Your name gives sight. Jesus, Your name will free every captive. Jesus, Your name is life. Jesus, Your name is holy. Jesus, Your name brings light. Jesus, Your name above every other. Jesus, Your name is life. Jesus, Your name is power. Jesus, Your name is might. Jesus, Your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, Your name is life. Jesus, Your name is life.
Receive this blessing to be dismissed. May you fully embrace and enjoy the promise of God to give you eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and blessings without end. And may you receive that by making a promise of your own to serve Him faithfully and to be enmeshed with Him in baptism. God bless you and go in peace.